FreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. We're broadcasting live from the future, indeed, for all of you in the Northern Hemisphere, you poor, poor devils now enjoying, you know, something akin to springish slash summer slash Fukushima fallout. And in New Zealand, on the other hand, the fabulous island jewel, the island chained nation of the sunny slave South Pacific. The colonised catastrophe of scumbaggery known as New Zealand. Nova Zealand, you know. Yes, it has been bombed by the French. And so many people understand what we're on about. And I think the new French president is not quite so Sarkozy with the, you know, austerity measures and what have you. And of course, when the market's here, oh dear goodness, somebody doesn't want to give out the entire country to the banksters. The stock market goes down and everybody experiences bad, rough times, don't they? Oh no, the bankers didn't take out my country and sell it off to foreigners. Now I've got to pay for all this extra stuff with all this extra money that I have from all this tax that I don't have to pay anymore for because of that Federal Reserve Bank that I got rid of. Oh mate, today's just terrible. You know, I wish I could just wake up one day and have somebody produce me some evidence that Rothschilds don't exist, Rockefellers don't exist, Bilderberg Group doesn't exist, vaccines are good for you, chemtrails don't exist, that the parliamentary systems are fair and balanced, and the judiciary isn't corrupt, and child protective services don't kidnap kids every single day for absolutely no good reason and sell them on to local pedophile rings. Okay? If somebody could prove to me that all that didn't exist, I would wake up a much, much happier man. You'd be like, oh my God, there's no huge conspiracy to run the world and huge quantities of scumbaggery going everywhere. I was just insane. It would be a welcome relief. I'm fairly certain all of us feel that way from time to time, because when you see this madness going on about you, it's hard for it to not affect you. Today I've got a guest who's an author from England. His name is Peter Eyre. I think that's how you pronounce it. Peter, are you there?
No, it's Peter Eyre, as in Jane Eyre.
As in the heir to the throne of England.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. Right, well, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Before I go in that, I just want to correct you on this wonderful gem in the South Pacific called NZ. I thought it was a target for HAARP recently.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah, well, so it's not such a gem then, is it?
Well, not entirely true, because when diamond cutters are shaping their gems into something that they can sell to a worthy buyer, they usually do some damage with incredible drills and files and other practical devices, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. I think when HAARP had a go at the Southern Island, I think the guy said, "Oh, Christchurch."
I mean, Christchurch is rocking. And did you know that the Rolling Stones are doing a tribute concert to Christchurch, and they're doing a remake of one of their old songs? It's called "I Can't Get No Liquefaction."
Hey, listen, have you got some English blood in you by any chance?
I speak English and I have blood, so I'd act under the assumption that the answer to that is yes in some way.
Well, I see you've got a little goatee beard, so that connects you with, like, Robin Hood, and Nottingham is very close to me. And the town very close to me is called Eastwood.
Ah, well, that's where my family comes from, allegedly. I think a couple of generations. I think I'm like a third-generation New Zealander or something. And some came from Ireland, some came from Scotland, and those are the two little family trees that spawned this little character here.
Well, you know what Eastwood's famous for, don't you?
Drinking lots of alcohol?
No, Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Lady Chatterley's Lover.
A famous novel and film.
Not anyway, heard of it?
The author was D.H. Lawrence, and he lived in Eastwood. Anyway, let's get on with the show, Vinny.
Not heard of him either. Let's get on with the show. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do, Peter.
Yeah, okay. Well, I started off as a young boy at 15 and joined the British military, the Royal Navy, and travelled all around the world before I was 18, got into conflicts, which I didn't really understand. I didn't enjoy. I saw the dark side and thought, my God, what am I doing here? Ended up in the jungles of Borneo. I visited Vietnam and a few more places, etc. And then got on to staff jobs, senior officer submarines, flag officer sea training, and ended up in the bowels of NATO headquarters doing intel work. And then things really started to open up. I got out of all that crap. And most of my life was focused on the Middle East, which I love to bits, you know, whether people like it or not. They're great people, no matter what this Islamophobia everyone's talking about. I've spent considerable time in Iran, Sudan, etc. Visited Iraq during the war. That was good. Shared many a tear with, Iraqi internally displaced people, people that have been tortured, girls that have been raped and abused, you name it. And then eventually I decided to launch myself on the Free Gaza and try and get out to Gaza and break the siege and the Israeli Navy. So I made my way to Larnaca in Cyprus. I was going to be skipper on one of the boats. but unfortunately the Free Gaza boat that I was on sprung a leak, and so I came back to the UK. But I'm glad in a way, because I found myself right in the middle of a whole pile of Mossad agents. I was actually billeted with one and slept with one eye open all night, and eventually I moved down to the vessel and slept on board, and they followed me. I couldn't get away from them. So, yeah, you know, what you see, what you hear. Charities are not exactly charities. You know, there's agents in every charity. It's absolutely unbelievable. So, yes, I've been gifted with quite a good life. And if you saw my profile, eventually I ended up returning to the UK. And after all this, I went to India, worked with poor tribal people, 10 villagers. Went back there a second year and made a documentary which won an award on poverty in rural India. That brought me right down to grassroots, and I gave my materialistic life away and suddenly became an activist. And I do a lot of broadcasts and TV, mainly for Middle East, because they're the only countries that will broadcast the truth. I believe there's a station down in New Zealand, of course, that does something similar and freedom.
Oh, there's several now, and yeah, the Vinnie Eastwood Show is being carried part and parcel by a number of different radio stations, and we're growing as time continues.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my bio, roughly. You know, I've had
I get a lot of activists on, and what usually ties them together and what wakes them up, essentially, usually comes down to one moment in time. When they made a choice, usually after something bad happened to them, or they found out something absolutely terribly shocking, and they can usually pinpoint it to one thing. Did anything of that nature happen to you?
I guess the turning point for me was when the Israelis attacked Gaza, because I know the area incredibly well, and I knew what was being portrayed to the public through the Zionist-controlled media was not the truth. A lot of people don't know this. The Israelis blamed it on these rockets that the people in Gaza were throwing over the border, but they weren't rockets, they were just toy fireworks. But anyway, they went in and did terrible damage. But this was all over natural gas. A lot of people don't know this. Vast reserves of natural gas in offshore Gaza, only 35 kilometres off the coast. And having been in the oil and gas industry, I could see what the Israelis were doing. When you put an oil rig right on the border, it's quite obvious that you're going to be tapping into someone else's resources. And so through diagonal drilling, they're sucking the gas out, and have done for some time. And now they're going to tap into another field that crosses, spans both Israeli waters and Gazan waters. And that's piracy, you know. UN know about it. Nobody says anything. But the chief of the IDF made a statement before this attack on Gaza took place. He said, "We have to take out a mass before we can drill for the gas." Well, that sums it up, really, doesn't it? Absolute hypocrisy.
Well, let's have a look at how you... what was it? War of the Worlds. When you look at a group of rabbits on a hill and you want to build your house on that hill, you don't negotiate with them or anything like that. You just exterminate them, and then you build your house on their hill. And that's exactly what happened in War of the Worlds, and it's exactly what's happening in Gaza.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you asked me what was the turning point for me. In actual fact, it was in Larnaca when I was crewing this boat, and I came across Cynthia McKenney, you know, the lady that...
I know her,
she's a good friend of mine. And I got a phone call. She was talking to me and others, and they said, "Peter, you've just started a journey. You don't know how you got on it. You don't know where you're going. You don't know when you're going to finish. You don't know what good you're going to do for anybody, but you're on the journey and you can't get off the train." And it's true. You know, you get into it. My life before was, you know, I was a nature lover, photography, video, all the nice things, and it's all gone. I'm just into the most horrible things you could imagine. And I think as each day comes, I've seen the worst. But then it gets, you know, I must admit, sometimes it does grab you, no matter how hard you are to the war crimes and things that's going in. Sometimes I just shed a tear to myself and say, you know, what the fuck is going on here? Excuse my language.
Well, the shock never wears off. So I developed a saying: I'm always shocked, never surprised.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the terrible thing about seeing the worst of what humans can do to other things, the deception, the cruelty and the malice. And you recognize I'm capable of that too. But I chose different.
Yeah, well, you see, the other misconception, and it's hammered down our throats every day of the week, every hour of the day from various sources about Islamophobia and Al-Qaeda and all this other crap. In actual fact, the enemy is within, not externally. It's not in some faraway Middle Eastern country or in North Korea. The axis of evil actually is here in London. And it's as simple as that. And one of the hubs, of course, is Chatham House. It just so happens I was doing a broadcast, a one-hour, half-hour broadcast the other day from the Voice of Russia. And I didn't realize this, but it was next door to Chatham House, which is the administrative hub for the New World Order. And I felt, you know, I felt so uncomfortable. You know, it's like the devil's around.
Oh, yeah.
You know that the intuition that you just want to get out?
That same dread as when you walk into a stone courthouse where everybody's like suffered in there or been hanged in past days or something like that, and it's trapped by the stone, that kind of feeling.
Yeah, hung, drawn and quartered.
Yeah.
In actual fact, I'm going through the court system at the moment. It's been going on for a year and a half, but we'll come back to that later on. So which way do you want to go? You ask the questions.
Well, we've only got about 20 seconds to go, so I'll just explain to you how we normally do the show. There is no structure. There is only one rule, apart from FCC regulations, and that's to have fun. Because if we're having fun, the audience is having fun. And usually activists experience a whole lot of awful stuff and terrible stuff and what have you. And what we like to do is talk about that exact same kind of stuff, but instead cackle about it and come to terms with it and help everybody relieve just a little bit of that mental anguish and suffering that I'm sure we all feel for those who are suffering in our stead, if not suffering ourselves. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Peter Eyre is my guest, and we will be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll be taking callers in the second hour, 218-339-8525. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. As far as I know, the only New Zealander in the history of the world to have an American talk radio show. I know how that happens. Interviewing a guy from the Uber Kingdom, which is what I call the UK nowadays, considering it does live under a nice, beautiful Saxe Coburg Gotha regime, I think is the term we're supposed to use for it in the media now. That's an administration or duly elected or any other form of representation who you want to portray in a negative light. You just call it a regime, okay? So you'll notice everything's called a regime. Except the Obama administration. It's the only thing that's not called a regime. My very special guest is Peter Eyre, and he is going to give us a regime of Fukushima radiation chemotherapy right about now. Peter, welcome back.
Hi. I'm not going to go into that too much, but I did explain to you that my background is primarily aviation, so I have the capability of studying the upper winds, not the winds from you know where. I won't go into that. Basically, I study the surface winds, the mid-level winds, and the upper winds, and also the jet streams. And I noticed that I immediately got onto the Fukushima situation when the explosion started to occur. And the authorities in Japan, with the backup of America and the nuclear industry and the experts from the New World Order, Chatham House in London, all jumped on the bandwagon and said, "Hey, folks, it's okay, it's going offshore," like heading towards the States, no less. But anyway, that was a total lie, because right from day one, the actual circulation flow was taking the main radiation straight down to the large city of Chiba and Tokyo. And it stayed that way for 2 or 3 days. So those cities got totally zapped. and then it got pulled into what I call a vortex or a low pressure system, which spun it round almost over to Vietnam, and then it came back on a double whammy and circled back over Japan again before it got hooked into a jet stream and over to the west coast of America. So you can see that there were absolute lies, and we've got a situation really where the North Island is totally uninhabitable, and they're talking about moving 40 million people, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's enough. I'm sure we've heard enough about Fukushima. It's a terrible disaster, and it's going to affect the world. But, of course, there's a mass genocide going on and has been going on since the Yom Kippur War, when depleted uranium was introduced by the Americans with the Israelis, and in the Balkans, Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, North Pakistan, even in Lebanon, even in Gaza, real nukes have been used. And, of course, poor old Libya has been absolutely nuked beyond belief. I believe the French use nuclear weapons. Well, let's put it this way. There was a fighter took off with a nuke slung under its centre belly, and he didn't come back with it. Okay, back to you.
Well, see, the thing about Fukushima that gets me is, you know how there's this deep eugenics agenda with the elite, right? They want to be able to control who can be born and who can't be. Well, in a world contaminated largely with radioactive particulates, 40 years of stored plutonium rods that went up in ash and all of that kind of stuff, not to mention the hundreds of millions of tons of radioactive water that was like 700 times more radioactive than you're allowed, being dumped into the Pacific Ocean, going into the current circulating all the way around. We're now getting radiation, pretty strong radiation was detected by a couple of people down in Dunedin, the South Island of New Zealand, so much that he just dropped his Geiger counter and he ran inside because he was in the full wind. It was it's quite terrifying, the prospects. But here's what's interesting. How does one, as a eugenicist, profit or get an agenda out of everybody being contaminated with radiation? In Iraq, a quarter of the babies are now born deformed. And that's such a high number that the parents' most common question is now no longer, is it a boy or a girl? Now the most common question that the parents ask to the doctor is it normal? And so what's going to happen? We're going to have all of these New World Order fantasites who love the idea of tyranny, love the idea of the perfect baby, and love the idea of intervening in abortion and all of that kind of stuff. They've been conditioned into it for decades. To say, okay, well, we're going to now scan your babies. This is a recent headline. You can now scan your babies well in advance to see whether or not there's any deformities and decide whether or not to abort them. So in a world contaminated with huge doses of radiation, it means almost nobody will be having kids.
Well, I think the issue here is, I think you were a little bit short on revealing the actual truth, because as we know, that they say, the New World Order say, that is, that they've got to get rid of at least a third, if not two-thirds, of the world population. That's what they feel, to reduce the population to a manageable level.
500 million?
With regards to, you mentioned, like, Iraq, well, we'd focus on Fallujah. In Fallujah, the Ministry of Health actually told all the females not to have children at all. So it's not a matter of saying, have a look to see if it's going to be normal or whether to abort it. A child in that area can never be normal because DU attacks the DNA of life. It's impossible for the baby to be normal. It's also DU that is the only known product that can actually penetrate what they call the nose-brain barrier. So this is why you get all these psychological problems, like US Marines go back and knock off their wives or the children or go and on the shoot somewhere. It's not their fault, you know, that there's a million...
I think that might also be to do with the fact that, what was it, a very large percentage of US servicemen are on some kind of antipsychotic drug, which have on the readout printed labels, may cause psychotic behavior, homicide, suicide, you know...
Yeah.
or shoot up your school, as in the case with the boys in Columbine who took, I think it was double or triple their dose of Prozac that morning. There was also a guy in New Zealand here, Clayton Weatherston, who stabbed his very, very beautiful girlfriend 217 times with a pair of scissors after he tripled his dose of Prozac that morning.
I think it's disgraceful that you get, like in America alone, there's over 1 million vets that are suffering from the war, and it's not this post-traumatic stress. That's a load of crap. It's purely the weapons they're using. And like in the Tora Bora, for instance, when they did the carpet bombing with the B-52s, what the public don't know, what America generally doesn't know and the rest of the world is, they dropped 6 nukes there and actually started an earthquake, which is recorded, and I have the data on that. And just to give you some idea as to how the world shares these conflicts, this is why it's a breach of the Geneva Convention, that this radiation drifts on the wind. So when they zapped, for instance, Tripoli, on a particular week, and I was tracking it, this contamination went straight across Tripoli to Algiers, straight across Spain and Portugal, out into the mid-Atlantic, and then did 180 degrees and zapped over the UK and Europe. And when they did shock and awe in Baghdad, for instance, we had atmospheric filters near London that detected depleted uranium in the atmosphere off the scale. And I've got a copy of that.
So much for Libya having one of the world's cleanest underground freshwater supplies.
Oh yeah, of course. Well, you know that's the problem. You can't clean this up. It's 4.5 billion years, half life of 4.5 billion years. Tripoli, the genetics of all these countries is zero. It's finished. There is no future for Palestine. It's very sad and it's very hurtful to say this about Free Gaza and all this and that. The IDF nuked them. But they're so thick that they didn't realize that the guy that took the picture standing on the border between Israel and Gaza, like there's 3 explosions going off, which is a DU weapon. Within 2 seconds, he was breathing it because the sea breeze made it cross the border. So when they did Lebanon in 2006, they zapped the northern extremity of Israel. When they did Gaza, they did the rest. So the IDF, the Israeli government, nuked their own people.
Can we say, therefore, that the New World Order is essentially, through the use of nuclear technologies and all these staged conflicts that they're doing around the world, basically just destroying the entire genetic code of the vast majority of the human race, and we're all going to die out as a result of what they've already done?
Well, the scary thing about this, and, you know, I'm not going to take sides on the homosexuality issue and all these other things that are very sensitive questions, because I've always believed that a person is the way they are because of a genetic disorder. And so it's wrong to say, you know, you're a queer or whatever, because it's not their fault. It's the way they're born. What happens with this severe contamination now? We're getting species of fish and animals, and now humans are ending up with the dual sexuality. They've got male and female organs, some of them, and the fishes are grotesque, you know, and animals are dying, species are dying out. But this genetic change, of you're going to end up with more homosexuality, where men look like women and vice versa, or they've got both sexes. And this is a direct result of tapping into the DNA through depleted uranium. But think about what happened in Iraq. When they blitzkrieged Iraq, what the public again doesn't know is compliments of Monsanto and all the other the evil people out there, that they destroyed the entire seed bank of Iraq. That was the birthplace of civilization and agriculture, and they destroyed the entire historical seed bank so that that country, if it's got any good soil left, is going to be totally dependent on the Monsanto GM crop that totally relies on using pesticides and whatever.
Monsanto corn, it grows out of plutonium.
Yeah, and it grows in and it glows in the dark.
It glows in the dark. So you no longer need giant floodlights and 8 foot high gates to protect your crop from starving people that don't have any food anymore. Because not only does the crop light itself up in the dark, but also it poisons anything that eats it. So it's perfectly safe for you after harvesting.
I tell you what as well, Vinny, this is another issue, and I need to broadcast this because it's vital that the audience out there, especially parents with female young ladies in high school age, have to understand this. The HPV vaccine, which was rushed through ahead of its normal protocol, Dr. Harper was in charge of that program, and she herself, being the instigator, was very concerned with which the way this was pushed out very quickly. The HPV vaccine, when it was tested on the animals, all the animals, or majority of the animals, became sterile, infertility. This is a connection, when you think about it, a bigger picture of depopulation. Now, when you consider that 75% or more of all British girls in high school have had the HPV, which is like, I think it's 3 injections, could potentially be totally sterilized. They're taking away the ability of young girls to have children and for the mum and dads to become grandparents. And that is so evil.
Now, let's talk about the solutions here, because we've talked about radiation, we've talked about sterilization, and incidentally, the New Zealand government is now going to be offering free, temporary and reversible, I'm using inverted commas here, sterilization to female beneficiaries. Anybody who's on the dole can get free contraception of that ilk. And of course, if you search up the types of contraception that they're offering, there is a lot of complaints from women all over the place saying that it was not reversible at all. And their periods have never been the same, or they can't ever have kids, you know, that kind of thing. So the meaning of the word cumulative comes to mind, Peter, whenever you're talking about any kind of conspiracy, because some people will say, oh, chemtrails don't matter, or depleted uranium doesn't matter, or this one. Any of them on their own, in isolation, you know, fine. It may not actually matter, but you put them all together, and believe me, all of these things are together on us right now, then you have recipe for disaster.
I think that the thing that concerns me is the mentality of most of the people, and I'm not putting listeners to this radio into that category, but most people are blasé and more interested in watching their soapies on television or X Factor or whatever, and they're totally blind. And I must admit, myself, in my earlier days, life was good. And now I've got to know the truth, and I reflect on it and said, do I really want to take this on board? It's time for someone else to pick up the banner. But going back to injections, you know, you get people like Bill Gates, who's giving tremendous money into vaccinations of people in Africa to stop polio and all this crap. This is not saving lives. This is killing people, because the additive, the preservative in those inoculation and vaccinations is mercury-based. Mercury is the most toxic, corrosive element on Earth.
Other than politicians' saliva. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That was an Alien 3 reference, by the way. My very special guest is Peter Eyre. Back in a few minutes. In the second hour, we'll be taking calls only 20 minutes away. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. The Northern Hemisphere's theme song in relation to Fukushima. Listen up.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
There's not a terribly large amount of relief out there for everybody who wants to, you know, basically stop seeing evil, manipulation, lies, scumbaggery, dastardly deeds and what have you being perpetrated on your friends, your neighbours, your family, your country and your region of the world. And you know, there's all sorts of really bad crap going on. And that's the real annoying thing that I found is that I can't look at any government department. I'm being in all seriousness now. I cannot actually look into any government department or any major Fortune 500 corporation and find nothing terribly wrong with them. You know, they've all got something huge that they're hiding or they're doing immense damage and people are just completely unaware of it and too naive to even suspect. The people that get put in the trusted positions, a position known as fiduciary, in the position of trust, like a doctor, like a lawyer, you trust what they say because they should know, right? That kind of position opens itself up to manipulation, to abuse, and, of course, the usurpation of people's rights and liberties. And it's been done all the way through history. You'll be surprised what people will do when a person in a lab cult is telling them, I said lab cult. I think that was a Freudian slip. when somebody like that tells you to do something, doesn't matter whether they're wearing a military uniform or a white lab coat, you will do it. 9 out of 10 times, everybody out there, because you love authority. There's a very interesting film that's just come out, The Avengers, where the bad guy comes in and he's like threatening an entire crowd of people, like hundreds of thousands of people, and he just commands them to kneel. And they're so afraid that they do. And he says, there, isn't that your natural state? Submissive. Freedom is an illusion. And you're much happier this way, aren't you? Now, I choose to take that kind of thinking a little bit step further and wonder just how much is our freedom worth? Is it worth fighting for? Hell yeah. And many people have sacrificed their lives for it, and many will continue to. Just like many people have died in the names of causes that were never their own because they were manipulated, lied to, and sent to war and popped up with some trap happy vaccine and came home with a neurosystem disorder. You know, we're cattle. We're experimentation dummies on a table here. And they don't care about us. So you got to make a very clear distinction. I mean, what you do in your life affects others. If you're working for a scumbag corporation, you're part of that machine. Either quit or give some of your money to somebody who's exposing that machine. You know, it's just that simple. You can rectify any situation by doing the smallest deed. And all of those small deeds come together to accomplish great things. And all the people that do the really big deeds wouldn't be there without all the smaller people propping them up and listening to them. That includes myself and my guest, Peter Eyre. Welcome back.
Hi, Vinny. I just heard you talk there. Basically, that comes under what I call abuse of power. The people in office, in local government, state government, central government, We all know, I call it the 3 D's and the C, which is deceive, disrupt, divide and conquer. And that's both within your own citizens and also in other countries. A lot of people don't understand that the current skirmishes that have been led us into permanent war since the Balkan Wars in the 90s, primarily focused, I must add, on the Islamic countries, is a systematic program that was planned back in 1997 by Paul Wolfowitz of the Project for the New America, which, as we know, is very much linked to the New World Order. And this systematic taking out a minimum of 7 countries, this was reconfirmed by General Wesley Clark, who was the NATO Supreme Commander in Europe, who actually talked about this, that he was privy to a secret document in the Pentagon when they said, we're going to war with Iraq, and Wesley said, why? And he says, I really don't know, was the reply. And then on his second trip to the Pentagon, he says, oh, it's worse than that. We're going to take out seven countries. And one of those was Libya, obviously Syria, Iran, Yemen, Somalia, and Sudan. And when you think about what's happening, that's exactly what's going on. And it's all about geopolitics, I call it. The main theme is control of the world resources, control of the markets for those resources, and control of the sea lanes, the pipeline routes, and the gateway, like the Red Sea and the Suez Canal, blah, blah, blah. It's all a con. And we're not in Afghanistan for democracy, for the people. We're in there to look after the poppy fields, not to destroy them, to protect the poppy fields, and to build the TAPI pipeline, which was a Halliburton project that would have brought trillions in. And, of course, that's fast diminishing now. And that's probably why they want to pull out of Afghanistan, because their big plans are failing. So, you know, we can live in hope. Maybe we can stop it. I don't know. But you can see the trouble stirring up in Yemen now. We've got continuous drone attacks. And now the good old UN saying there's a humanitarian crisis. How many times do we hear this crap? There's a humanitarian crisis in Libya. There was a humanitarian crisis in Syria. And now one in Yemen. That's the base plate for going to war, you know, and the public don't know this. War is good.
There's a lot of people who said the Third World War is coming. Do you concur?
It could do. I mean, having studied the weather and what happens in a given area, as an example, I think if they attack Iran, it would have to be one of the most catastrophic wars this world has ever experienced. Because we know that just with, you know, just the contamination of GU, you've got several thousand Hiroshima bombs floating around in the atmosphere. Think about that. Nanoparticles in mass. So if they go for Iran, imagine the implications of using a combined depleted uranium and, quote, real nuclear weapons on nuclear facilities. Within 2 days, the entire Middle East, from Turkey to India, from the Caspian down to the Horn of Africa, is going to be zapped. And within 10 days to a month, the whole of the world's going to be zapped. This would be an absolute catastrophic disaster.
Catastrophic disasters. Yeah. Have you noticed, Peter, that every other day we're being warned about a catastrophic disaster?
Oh, yeah.
Or a catastrophic disaster is being broadcast. It comes to the point where it's lost its meaning. It's lost its meaning. It's like the boy who cried depleted uranium.
Yeah, I know. And you know, we talked about this off air about self-censorship. Perhaps you'd like to go into that area. You asked the question.
Oh, yeah. Well, the audience should know the question. We all self-censor a bit, and for some reason we don't talk about things because we might think people think we're a little bit weird. So if there's anything that you've ever bit your tongue about, Peter, here's the place to say it.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess I've been privileged to be part of what I call the University of Life. I've been in war zones many times, and jungles, you know, Borneo with communists and what have you. I've tasted Vietnam, although I wasn't participating, but I certainly was there and experienced it as an outsider. I've spent considerable time in Iraq and shed a few tears with the people. People have shown me their machetes, where the machetes cut out chunks of flesh, or they've been hung with their hands behind their backs from the ceiling, or somebody's come in the middle of the night in these big houses, you know, with the grandparents, the parents, and the kids and everyone, and they've split them all up and said, you'll never see your relatives ever again. And in many cases, that's correct. Those that have managed to get out can never go back. You know, it's just absolutely appalling. So having done that and having worked in almost every industry, from the oil and gas to aviation to marine, etc., I call it the University of Life. And suddenly something hits you that what we're listening to is absolute total bullshit. And we're being deceived, and something terrible is going on. I don't know whether the likes of you or me can do anything about it, but the best thing we can do is try and educate the mass out there to understand what is true for. This has nothing to do with conspiracy. I never talk about anything or write about anything or go on TV unless I can prove what I'm talking about. So on your channel, I'm going to say that no aeroplane hit any building in 9/11. Bin Laden wasn't killed last year. He died on December the 14th in December 2001. And there is no Al-Qaeda. There is no terrorists. Give me one example of any Islamic terrorist attack in the West, and you'll find for sure it's going to be a false flag involving Mossad, CIA, MI5 and MI6. And when you see these troubles stirring up in Syria or Libya, you know, it's all false.
Well, that feed's a bit high. We need to bring down the music a little so Peter can finish his point, perhaps. Nope. There we go. Peter, sorry, finish your point then.
Yeah, so it's all an illusion, you know. They're all false flags. And all this unrest in all these countries are our own special forces or CIA or Mossad. I call rent a crowd. Give them money, stir them up, and then get all the cameras there and make it look like it's the local regime when it isn't.
Indeedy doody. Deception is a big part of war, ladies and gentlemen. As Sun Tzu said, all war is deception. And currently the politicians are engaging in a deceptive war against us so that they can take our votes off us. We'll be right back after the break, taking calls 218-339-8525. Back in a minute.
Alert the masses.
Gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also shout outs to Rush FM in Hamilton, New Zealand, and the iFinity Network in the South Island. Thank you very much for bringing this show home, because otherwise it wouldn't be there. Because every single radio station in this country basically dribbles out nothing but trash. The caller lines are now open, ladies and gentlemen. 218-339-8525. If you're calling from New Zealand or elsewhere around the world, I believe the international code is 001 for the United States. That's 001-218-339-8525. My very special guest, Peter Eyre. I must say, we're only halfway through the interview. I feel like the time has flown by, and I'm quite stoked and very interested, because I had no awareness of your existence up until now.
Yeah. Well, I come back to the topic I always talk about. Can one person make a difference? And the answer to that, for sure. I started off I'm not a journalist, but apparently people in the States say you're a bloody good journalist. I'm not a journalist. I'm just an ordinary Joe Bloggs, you know, that got up off my arse and thought enough is enough. And I say to the people out there listening, you have a duty of care when you look into the eyes of your children and your grandchildren to get up off your arse and do something, because you're leaving behind something that is beyond imagination. You know, the chip and pins on the horizon, in case the people in America don't know, it's already been passed through the government that to give them the authority to do this. It doesn't say that precisely in the words, but the authority to chip and pin has been passed. And believe me, it's going to happen. And so there's that aspect of it. And, you know, why would an individual like me, who can't do anything or thought I couldn't do anything, got up off my arse and now I'm on four channels on TV, satellite channels, four radio stations, I write umpteen articles, and you can make a difference. And I don't want to, you don't make money out of this. I spend hours like I'm doing now up until the early hours of the morning. I don't get paid for doing it. Why would you subject yourself to this pain? But, you know, it comes down to something, you know, a lot of Gandhi's words, a big treasure for me. He made one statement that was so powerful, and it's relevant to the police state, which is now America and soon to be the rest of Europe. And when he said, you can chain me, you can torture me, you can even destroy this body, but you will never imprison my mind. And I think that's typical of how this man was, and many more things like that. So, folks, get up if you're arse and do something. Do it for your children and your grandchildren.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is I was just thinking this before the show. I was outside looking at the chickens, and I was thinking, you know what? When you're sitting around and you're like watching TV or playing computer games or something, you think to yourself, man, I can't be bothered getting off my ass. But then I was just thinking, well, why don't you just start small? Why don't you just try raising your arm up? And he's just like, hey, that's not that hard. Why don't you try raising your leg up? And that's not that hard either. Then why don't you just stand up, get off your ass, and start doing something? Because it's a hell of a lot better way to spend your time. And that occurred to me this morning, and a documentary or a video or something that I've been putting off for a better part of 3 months, and in a couple of hours of the morning, is almost finished.
Yeah, I guess that brings me back to something that I tried. I was so angry after when the Israelis attacked Gaza and some of the other things that were going on at the time, that I sat down and wrote a book. The book's never been printed. It's still in my computer. It's called The Deadly Link, and I call it The Deadly Link because I really do believe that imperialism breeds what I call self-induced terrorism, and the two together create poverty. And that's what I wrote the book. It would take the average Joe Bloggs probably a year or more to write it. I was so furious, and everything was in my head. It all came out within a month and a half. I'd written a book. And I couldn't believe it. But, you know, it was there. I don't know who put it there. Incredible things happen to me. I wake up at 2 and 3 in the morning with a brainstorm, and I get up and I'm looking for something I haven't been able to find for 6 months. And I go into my search engine. I don't even type it sometimes. And, boy, there it is. You know, absolute sort of everyday miracles. But please understand that
intuition.
The world order. Sorry, Vinny, I'll just finish this. The New World Order, if you want to defeat it, there's something that I think is very special, and I want you to embed this in your mind, that there's something that the satanic New World Order cannot deal with, and that is love for your family, love for each other, love for your neighbor, compassion and caring. They can't deal with this, and as long as that becomes a major focus on your life, you're a winner.
You left out laughter as well. They can't stand that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like nails on a chalkboard. You know? and it's funny because your intuition kind of guides you sometimes, and serendipity always follows those acts of intuition, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know? That's right. I mean, I did tell you off air that I'm one of probably the only guy in the UK that's actually filed formally a war crimes complaint against Tony Blair and the British government on behalf of the people of Iraq. That was a legal document, and it went before a tribunal. Obviously, Tony Blair wasn't present, but it still doesn't alter the fact that he's a war criminal, and all the presidents and prime ministers currently in office are in the same category, because the weapons they're using is mass genocide and nothing else. And that brings me down to a court case that in the Royal Court of Justice in London that I myself have been involved in. You think of the magnitude of this, that you have in the palm of your hand the potential of taking down the Prime Minister and every political party that's currently in this country. Can one man do that? Of course you can't. It's not going to happen. But it doesn't alter the fact that I've got it, that our Prime Minister went down and illegally purchased 3 nuclear weapons and then lost them, and they were sold on the black market, and that's why we went to war with Iraq, and 17.8 million commission went into his back pocket and Tony Blair's, etc., etc. These are the people that are running our countries, my friend.
This is true. And even in Indonesia, was it an Indonesian or a Malaysian court? I forget which. They found Tony and Ambush. Wait a second, I need to say his name properly.
Tony.
And Bush. Guilty of war crimes. And so these people are wanted felons. And you know what? Tony Blair gave a speech in Auckland not too long ago. I've got a video. I think it's if you search Tony Blair gets yelled at by protesters. Tony Blair gets yelled at by protesters, ladies and gentlemen. You'll love it. I don't think he even heard a word we said because he's a sociopath, isn't he? The man has clearly no conscience. Bush is the same. We're dealing with people who don't have that capacity. You listed a whole bunch of things about love and compassion and all of that good stuff that makes the human condition. They don't have those.
No, they're actually brain dead, Vincent. It's as simple
heart
as that.
Dead. Heart dead.
Wouldn't you think, for instance, like in this country and the whole of Europe and America? Just think about this. The financial meltdown, the world financial meltdown, what caused this? It was no accident.
Derivatives.
It was planned. It's part of the New World Order. They can take out any company and any country at will, whenever they so choose. And people have to understand it. The Arab Spring was a New World Order master plan, and it's still ongoing. Now it's the Western Spring. So what they do is they force a country into bankruptcy. And then the good old New World Order IMF or World Bank come in and give them massive loans linked with austerity measures, and the whole cycle starts again. So myself and my colleague, again, an individual that, you know, can make a difference, we investigate massive fraud. We have given the government, the serious fraud office, every union member here saying, do you know why you're unemployed, why you're losing your house in America or UK or Europe? It's because the system is ripping the banks off. It's pilfered out of the system. It goes offshore. There's no tax paid on it. Trillions of dollars every year, and nobody does anything about it. And we've got forensic evidence of this. What is the total debt of America now? They tell you $15 trillion. In actual fact, it's probably 3 times that amount. Think about this. $15 trillion was given by Obama to the HSBC Bank in 3 separate tranches here in London. It was then passed on to the Royal Bank of Scotland, and my friend, it disappeared. $15 trillion. Come on, blow it out your bum.
Now, does anybody have any idea how much money $1 trillion is? It's $1 million.
$1 million! You've got to be kidding me. Okay, Dr. Evil doesn't even ask for that much money. What the heck do you think happened, ladies and gentlemen, during the financial crisis when 45% of the world's wealth disappeared? Energy, like wealth, does not disappear. It only gets transformed. Just like into gold and silver after they stole it off of everybody, or does it get transformed into black ops budgets? Goodness knows what kind of technology these people have got under their heels right now. You know, can you imagine what kind of research and development you could do with $2 trillion? I mean, let alone the day before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld announcing that $2 trillion had up and gone missing from the bloody Pentagon budget. I have no idea what had happened, but conveniently everybody forgot about that. Because 2 giant aluminium cans of aircraft, allegedly full of kerosene jet fuel, managed to turn several hundred thousand tons of steel and concrete mesh into fine dust-like particulates that were practically atomized in seconds. Yep, that's precisely what went down there. If you want to know how 9/11 was an inside job, here's a test for you. Okay, you got a barbecue in the backyard. Good. Okay, go out there, turn it on. All right, leave it running. All right, keep leaving it running for about an hour. All right, and then ask yourself two simple questions. One, did the grill melt? No. Okay. Question number two, did the barbecue itself explode into particleized dust? No. Ergo, 9/11 was an inside job. It's straightforward, isn't it? Basic thermodynamics.
Yeah. Well, we know that it was a cruise missile, and we know that it was a minimum of depleted uranium. It could have been something stronger, but definitely a missile. It's like what happened to United 93 in the field in Shanksville, you know, these heroic fighting with the hijackers and put it into a nosedive and it crashed inverted in the field in Shanksville. Absolute bullshit. That aircraft was under auto control from a command center. Nobody on board that aircraft was conscious at the time, and it was taken down by an F-16 fighter with two sidewinder missiles, and it crashed not in the field in Shanksville, but in the forest nearby.
Have you seen Mission Impossible 2?
No, I don't have time to watch movies, believe it or not.
Dig this. The movies reveal a lot of interesting things. This is why I watch so much of them, because what they do is they play out in movies what's actually happening in reality a lot of the time.
Oh, yes.
For instance, in the start of Mission Impossible 2, they're creating one of the most horrific viruses known to man and the antidote. And one of the scientists is smuggling the virus in his own body on an airliner, okay? And he's going to go to the CDC, he's going to give it in there, and he's going to whistleblow and all of that kind of stuff. And he's suddenly aware that everybody on the plane is asleep because they all put their oxygen masks on. And he and a couple of agents are the only that were left on the plane to kidnap him were the only ones there. So you just think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're entering into some turbulence. Put on your oxygen mask, please, including the pilots. Everybody's out like a light. And then ground control takes over. Little remote control. They've been able to remote control things since the 60s. It was an Operation Northwoods that they blow up a drone aircraft over Cuban airspace and alleged that there were a whole bunch of passengers on board in order to start a war with Cuba. Or start a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area. Okay, these people set up people all the time.
It's funny you should say that, Vinny, because at least two of the aircraft of the four on 9/11 had actually been undergoing tests and had got the apparatus already installed for external control of those aircraft.
What was a
test became a reality, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Well, like I always say...
Are we getting any phone-ins, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Like I say, sometimes people just like to listen, Peter. But like I always say, 9/11 has more red flags than China does. All right. The Communist Party under Chairman Mao ain't got Shiite Muslim on 9/11's red flags. All right? They are too numerous to count. We could sit here for continuously. We could do the marathon interview, Peter, of 27 hours, which a local New Zealand mayor just did. 27 hours just on some of the red flags that we know about. It's endless, ladies and gentlemen. So it definitely wasn't what they said it was. We'll be right back. 218-339-8525. Call in right now, please.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, black sunrise. Always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Talking about a black sunrise, my favourite word that I, of course, created. That much of a, is it self-obsessed sociopath, I think is the definition. Scumbaggery is the word that I love talking about it. Because, well, basically, you never run out of examples. You know, fresh material arrives every day. It's an incalculable feast, a buffet, if you will. My very special caller, regular on the show, Tim in DC. Welcome to the show, mate. You're live with me and Peter.
Yeah. What's going on, Vinny?
You know, I'm just keeping a bangster.
Yeah, but I was doing your guest, man. You know, something he said, man, that it kind of struck a chord. Now, he said there were no planes that hit. Now, at first, I was skeptical about the World Trade Center, but I was quite sure about the Pentagon and Shanksville, Pennsylvania, because I'm like, no plane just disappears in the thin air. I mean, you don't have to be a scientist or no conspiracy theorist, but you just have to know no planes disappear. Because when I saw it hit the Pentagon that day, I'm like, where's the plane? I'm like, okay, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, even the reporter said, man, there are no, it didn't even look like a plane hit. It didn't look like a whole bunch of debris. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? Man, now, you ever heard of John Lear? You know John Lear?
I haven't.
The pilot, his father was
as in the Lear Corporation?
Yeah, the Lear Jet. John Lear, he's well known. He was interviewed by Kerry Cassidy one time for Project Camelot. He did an interview, and he said the holograms was huge. Now, I don't know where he got that, if he was assuming, but he was one of the first ones that mentioned that holograms were used, you know, for the World Trade Center. I'm like, well, that's pretty interesting.
Spot on,
and,
man.
You
right.
And when Dr. Judy Wood said what brought the towers down, she was talking about energy beams. Now, if you were talking about movies a couple of minutes ago about how they put things in movies.
Just a quick correction, Tim. She didn't talk about energy beams per se. It's a dual stasis field device. One puts a static charge on the object, like a set perimeter, and statically charges the object. And the other one then delivers just a quick pulse to that static field, and the particles begin to fly apart.
Well, it's basically the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm. But it's not like a beam weapon like you'd see on from space or anything like that. I mean, it's just kind of like a device that you can just, you know, just appears with.
Yeah, she never said she don't know where it came from. She never specified where
exactly.
It came from. Right.
I mean, all we know is the effect. We don't know what the device actually is or the patents or anything.
Yeah, first thing that came to my mind, I thought about HARP. But then there's another thing that came to my mind. Remember the movie Under Siege 2?
Oh, yeah.
Now, remember they used that thing, Grazer 1? They had it up like a satellite out in space, and they took out the plane, and they hit China, and they said, well, tell them it was an earthquake. And you know how they use that beam. That's what it reminded me of. When I saw the World Trade Center go down, and I started looking back at this building about a million times. I've never seen a building come down like that at free fall. I've seen buildings being imploded and everything, but I've never seen a building come down and disintegrate into particle dust ever in my life. So regardless of what was used, it wasn't up to convention.
Can I speak to your guest, Vinny?
Can
I speak to him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hello. What's his name?
Mm-hmm.
Tim.
Yeah.
Hi. Can any of you recall the program on TV called Stargate?
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You remember the big circle that looked like water, and people just floated into it and went into another sphere, just completely disappeared.
That's Stargate.
Your guess was spot on, because having studied the film in depth and freeze framed them, you've got to understand that if something is moving at conventional speed, i.e. a Formula One racing car or an aircraft, you can freeze frame it and do it in slow motion as it enters the building. And when I did this with the North Tower aircraft, you can actually see the aircraft passing through the building. It's still there. And it was a computer-generated image. And the other issue is that to pulverize a building and cause so much destruction, it's got to have some thermonuclear overtone to it. And, for instance, had it been a DU missile, a cruise missile, which I think it was, because the one that hit the South Tower, remember, there was only one shot, and that was the fireman down on the broadwalk, and he looked over his shoulder, and you heard this swoosh, and bang. When you try and freeze-frame it, you can't freeze-frame it because it's traveling in excess of conventional speed. So you're lucky if you can capture it once in the frame. And so the noise of that was certainly not a big turbofan of a Boeing, which has a very unique sound. This was a roar. This was a missile sound. And in it went. And remember, with DU, that generates an internal temperature of in excess of 5,000 degrees centigrade. That's the minimum. And then if you've got some other thermonuclear activity in the building, you know, and the free fall, of course, which we all know, demolition, and all the comments about hearing an explosion down in the lobby when the total lobby floor was absolutely wiped out. No aircraft hit the lobby, so how did the lobby get bombed in such a state? There's so many grey areas there, I'll tell you. And your guest there has got it spot on. It was an illusion and nothing else.
Yeah.
I wonder, is there anything about 9/11 that we were told that was real? Anything at all?
Yeah. One thing they told it was real, that it happened on 9/11.
But that depends if you're using the Gregorian calendar or not.
Just keep him on a minute, Vinny. This is very important. This is very important. Because of my aviation background, especially in airline operations, all aircraft have a system that is separate from air traffic control and airport control. It's called ACARS. And it's like you have the ability to read the temperatures of the engines, the fuel flow, the general health of the aircraft. The data is transmitted through the ACARS system back to the airline operations base. And you can also SMS the captain. Now, one thing I can say absolutely categorically, that the aircraft that was allegedly hit the South Tower was in actual fact still flying 20 minutes after impact down the airways near Harrisburg. And it even identified which of the local aerials it was using to transmit its message back to ground operations. So the American Airlines play that they said at the tower first up never happened.
Remember, it was a TV show. You remember The X-Files, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a spinoff called The Lone Gunman from Chris Carter. The pilot episode where the government was using a plane create a false flag to run into the fly into the World Trade Center. This happened in April of 2001, a few months before actually 9/11. This was on the pilot show. You can pull this up on YouTube, where they were going to fly a plane into the World Trade Center.
Yeah, of course, there's some of the value you have to put into this argument as well, and that is the structural safety of the aircraft. When you exceed what is called their never-exceed speed, the wings start to flutter and all sorts of things happen. And it, basically, the aircraft disintegrates because it cannot deal with the velocity and the G-forces applied to it. And in this case, no Boeing would have done what that did without breaking up in flight. And then you've got the issue that both engines are hung on to their pylons by what we call a shear pin. So if there's any vibration or an impact, the actual engines drop off. They're designed to drop off for the shear pin to shear. And then you've got the main spar of the wing itself. When that struck that building, how can alloy hit the massive girders, steel girders, and pass through? It's impossible. The wing and the tail and the engines would have been external of the building. It's absolute crap, my friend, I'm telling you.
The part that tripped me up, when they said they found the guy's passport at the bottom of the... I'm like, oh, come on, man. This is turning into a comedy or something.
You know what we should do, man? There has to be a zany cartoon version of 9/11 made with, like, Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner and all of that kind of stuff, just to make it more believable.
So the plane was made by Acme.
Yeah, it was an Acme plane, and it was fired from an Acme slingshot, and there was an Acme rocket strapped underneath the plane, and it also had an Acme laser targeter on it, and an Acme projector screen all around it with Acme holograms and Acme space beams and Acme people on board the planes too.
Vinny, we have to put a warning out at this stage, right? Because at the moment, we know that we've had our second quote underpants bombing episode, where this very smelly pair of underpants has ended up at the FBI for investigation. So we have to put a warning out to all the ladies of the world to make sure they don't leave their bras out on the line, because the next thing is going to be a double whammy explosion in somebody's bra.
See, now, one time I drank too much and I had an underwear explosion and I just got on with my life. I don't see what the big fuss is about.
Okay, anyway, man. Nice to speak to you, sir. Thank you for the comment.
Okay, then.
All right, well, Tim, if you have anything else to say, you know, you feel free to speak your mind. But.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and let that go ahead, man. I'm keep on listening to you.
I got all right. You got what you need. Thanks, man.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Okay. Maybe Vinny. Are there any ladies out there that want to come online?
I don't know if Lisa in East Texas might be listening. She frequently calls in. Very smart lady. So Lisa, if you're calling in, ring on in. Or any. I'd love to get some first time callers as well. It happens. You know, every now and again, and I promise, if you're a first time caller, we'll go straight to you. I'm not sure if that encourages favoritism or something of that nature, but anyway, this whole 9/11 thing. What I love is that we live in a post 9/11 world, but that post 9/11 world has given birth to basically a whole generation of people, and it expands through all the generations. Exactly. In fact, most of them are over 40 years of age or something of that nature, according to the statistics and everything like that. Most of the people that listen to the show and American Freedom Radio are middle-aged or older. Okay, it's because it's that generation primarily that is the base of this kind of mentality, that we can't sit by and do nothing. What were they teaching about civics and what have you about 40 years ago when people were growing up? Perhaps they actually taught civics, unlike they do today, where they get taught to pledge allegiance to Janet Napolitano, the head of Homeland Security.
Homeland Security. That's a good one.
I'm sorry. Hail Janet!
Vinny, I think you meant Homeland Insecurity.
Oh, yes.
Oh, by the way...
But I'm not sure, but I think you meant Homeland Insecurity.
Hey, listen, we shouldn't dwell on America too much because I think we're hitting them pretty hard. Let's bring into the equation 7-7 here in London, because there was another classic false flag.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we've got Kevin in Montana calling in, so maybe we can get back to 7-7 after the break. Kevin, what's up, man?
Oh, hello, Vinny. Great show you're having, and Peter's an excellent guest. I just wanted to call in real quick. Didn't want to get into a long tussle about anything, but you mentioned the plane going through the South Tower. There actually is a fairly substantial debate about this on YouTube. Anthony Lawson gets into sort of a debate with Simon Shack, who's the author of the September Clues video, about whether or not TV fakery was being used and so on. And the famous nose out section of September Clues, where it demonstrates that the plane was coming out the other side of the building.
All right, well, we'll get back to that after the break with Kevin in Montana. We've got Mojo in Illinois holding as well. And if you want to call in and join the debate, final segment coming up, 218-339-8525. Back in a minute.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've
been this is where depleted uranium is,
I've
baby.
I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Depleted uranium is everywhere.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about contamination. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. It's the lighter side of genocide, because the world's so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special caller, Kevin, is still there, and Mojo is holding. So, Kevin, I'm sorry if you wanted to reiterate your question, and then we'll try and answer it if we can.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The point that I was making is that there's still a very vigorous debate, to be polite about it. I think that if you take a look at the stuff that's up on YouTube or any of the video channels, you'll see quite a lot of rebuttal from the normal no-planer position. I would say that probably the best analysis of the no-planer position was put forth by Simon Shack in the September Clues video, and there's a very, very vigorous rebuttal to that made by one fellow by the name of Anthony Lawson, who's done some really excellent videos on analysis of what was coming off of the TV stations on that day. And to be honest with you, I don't want to tip the scales too much in favor of one or the other. You should go and do your own research, just as we all must do with all of this stuff. But I would have to say that Anthony Lawson gets the better of the debate with Simon Shack.
All right, Kevin, thank you for your call. And we're now going to go to area code 708. New caller, you're on the air. Sorry, Mojo, we'll get to you very quickly. Welcome to the show.
Hello, is this me?
Yes, it is. What's your first name and state you're calling from, please?
Benny, Illinois.
Yeah, oh yeah. The land of
my name is Susan,
and
I listen to you every day. Today, I was busy with my dog, and I just started listening. I heard you wanted ladies to call in, and I don't know what I can add to this debate as it is, but I wanted to compliment you so much, and at your age, how mature you are and how enlightened you are. If you wanted to clue me in a little bit on what you were talking about, I heard about, you're talking about 9/11 and 7/7, but I'm not sure in what context.
Well, we're talking about false flags principally, aren't we? And what was it specifically we wanted a woman's perspective on, Peter? Do you recall?
Sorry, was that for me, Vinny, or for Susan?
Yeah, that was for you.
Okay. I really believe, I've always believed this because I'm not a sexist. I really do believe the women should be given more on such topics because... it's like I always say, when you work in a administrative building or a factory, you go in there and there's no women. Everything is squares and oblongs, grey, black or silver. And when a woman comes into the environment, the beautification takes place and you enjoy the environment that you're living in. And I believe that women add that to life across the board. And when you're talking about high-tech issues like 9/11... sophistication of the weaponry and 7/7 and mass genocide, war crimes, women really do contribute. And having spent quite a long time with the poor tribal people in southern India, it was the women that held the village together. Absolutely incredible. So, Susan, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you so much. And I agree with you. During the World War II, I understand the... all the women really, really hopped too, and really began the women's movement. We took over everything. I wasn't born, but my mother was, and she was in the Navy, and then she went on to fly for Braniff Airlines for a number of years, and. I thought that was very cool, but I didn't know her then.
It's funny you should mention that because Braniff it was a beautiful airline. They had those wonderful coloured aircraft, the first I think fleet in the world to be so colourful in their pastel colours and what have you. And you know, I very much know Braniff because I'm an aviation man and I went over to the States quite a few times. So if your mother worked for them, then God bless her, you know, that she was in good hands.
Oh, she sure did. Unfortunately, she had to quit when she got married. That was the rule. That was the law then. And she was always mad about that.
Look at it this way. She was at least had the choice to raise a child and have her income supported by a man who could actually get paid enough to do so.
Absolutely.
You can't do that anymore.
Yes. Absolutely. And one other thing I would like to say, since you're talking about false flags, I live near Chicago and. I've actually seen, because of your post, Vinny, yesterday, I looked up on the mainstream, and it's really true. The Secret Service is, and possibly the military, are making contingency plans to evacuate Chicago. Can you even imagine?
Yep.
Evacuate Chicago for the NATO summit.
And guess which movie recently released depicted Chicago being under attack by aliens and having to be evacuated? Transformers 3. Susan, thank you for your call. Well, in fact, you don't have to hang up. We're still there, but I've got to go to Mojo as well.
Oh, okay.
Mojo, welcome to the conversation. We've still got Susan here.
Hey, how are you doing, Vinny?
Somewhat fabulous, you know.
Yeah, I'm back on the air again. I'm earning another 15 minutes of fame here, I guess.
Well, we've only got 3 minutes. I hope that'll
suffice. I'm going to make it short. I'm going to have to make this brief. Hey, you know, one of the things that always fascinated
I'd rather make it brief than boxes.
One thing always fascinated me about 9/11... and people's perception and how they viewed that whole farce. It's in the fact that, you know, the 9/11 Commission report came out, but the reporting agency that they chose to exclude all the evidence from, which was Underwriters Labs, there was a guy at Underwriters Labs that certified the steel for the 9/11 towers. And this guy in his internal documents had stated that that steel would more than withstand the temperatures that would be created from jet fuel. And this guy was ridiculed, and he was later on fired from this position. And what I don't understand is why people are so blind or just, you know, unaware, obtuse to these things, because you have to be able to connect the dots. And there's no way that buildings of that size would fall into their own footprint.
You know what I'm thinking? It's like, you know how some people are short-sighted or long-sighted and they need glasses to be put on. You're staring at a connect-the-dots paper with your glasses off. And somebody just and somebody can see that you're having trouble, and they just go, hey, mate, here's some glasses. Oh, now I can see. There's all the dots. Because what the news does to us in a very literal sense is they report on the fact that there are dots that exist. Look, here's a dot. There's a fracking dot right there. Look at it. Look at it. As opposed to the alternative media that connect those dots. Because either one in isolation is insignificant. And like I always say, in the end, everything comes back to the beginning. And in the beginning of the show, as I said, something to that effect. It just shows that basically everything is cumulative. Everything. And you've got to look at everything in order to know what's actually going on. Anything can exist in isolation or what have you. But if you don't look at the big picture, how are you going to know what's really going on? And the answer is you can't. So, guys, thank you for
the call. I think that people are willfully ignorant, though, because what I saw, you know, having an architectural background, is they had steel reinforcing members like every 24 feet on center, vertical members. I mean, it would have taken unbelievable amount of force to knock that building over. And if the plane would have hit, the building would have toppled from the top and not fallen into its own footprint, not both buildings. But, you know, it's just it's too convenient. And it's, you know, it just, both buildings, both of them falling into their own footprint, is just it's unbelievable.
Well, it's unbelievable because it's not true. and you're not so dumbed down. Well, here's the thing, again, about cumulative effects. How could you expect people to know what's really going on when every single bit of food that they eat makes them dumber, slower, sicker, and degrades their brain, rots their body's natural ability to protect itself, makes you vulnerable to disease, and your entire economic situation is geared to making sure that you have zero free time and zero correct educational input, because they put you into a school system straight on. You're conditioned from birth. You don't have much of a choice. This is how people act. But despite that huge amount of brainwashing mechanisms, people still wake up. That's the strength of the human spirit that we all got to remember. Thank you, Peter Eyre, for your time. Thank you, Mojo, Susan, and the other callers. Love you very much. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.